Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello. We're back to another episode of the NFL Super Friends here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. We got a full house once again, including my good friend all the way over there in Los Angeles, California, 49ers hub, Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. I saw you were eating before recording. What is your, what is your go-to unhealthy treat?
Burger.
What? No, that's not. No. What?
What are you, first are you talking about? Like a
dessert?
Like a really? Like a sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh, like a sweet. I'm not normally a sweets person, but I like ice cream a lot.
Okay.
I actually like, what is the, not gelato, but the sherbet?
Oh, Shabbat. Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Not Shabbat. Sherbet.
Don't say.
No. Sherbet, what is it called? I know what you're talking about. It's
Shabbat
like
a Jewish term. That's
not. No, I know, but it's not that. It's not. What am I thinking of? I know what you're talking about. It's really good. They have it. Sorbet. That's sorbet, it. Yeah. Sorbet. That is fantastic.
Yeah, very but also classic. Like little things. Like if I go to a movie, I really got to stop this. But whenever I go to a movie, I have to get Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
Some form of chocolate. Popcorn and then a Pib Extra. If I go to,
oh my god, LA, you're just
I have to get a Pib Extra.
Uh-huh.
So like I just don't do that stuff that often.
Okay. I mean, you're going all out. That's a lot of action. That's a lot of stuff going on. There's a movie theater that has the comfortable seating by us, and Sam, she likes to go to this one a lot, and it's one where they do the serving one where they come up and take your order, this, that, and the other. I'm firmly against it. I don't like that experience at all. Sam's about it. I can't stand it. Like we're 15 minutes.
You don't like
being
comfortable?
I love the seating. I want to pick up the seats and move them to my movie theaters that I actually enjoy. Like I can't have it both ways, because when you go here, you're like 15 minutes into a movie I really want to see, and I just hear like, did you have the club soda? Like no, what? I'm getting removed from the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. There are people ordering hot wings. Like there was a guy who got like hot wings and a milkshake what are we doing? It's like 2 o'clock on Sunday for Wonka. What are we doing?
So I don't know if you guys have this, especially Chase, because you live in the middle of nowhere, but there is something in LA called Dolby Theater. And it's like at an AMC. It's like the highest tier of theater. It's like an IMAX theater, but it also has all like the top tier Dolby sound, whatever. And it is elite. JP, you nodded your head. Have you seen a Dolby Theater movie?
I haven't seen a Dolby Theater movie, but I know of the Dolby Theaters. I don't think
it is elite. It will ruin your movie experience. There's like there's obviously like the very well known, if you've seen Iron Man 3, the Chinese theater in Hollywood, and it's like one of the 70 millimeter IMAX theaters. Like, there's only so many on Earth. I watched what's the nuke movie?
Oppenheimer.
I watched Oppenheimer on that. I was like, that's fine. Watch a regular old movie, Dolby. It's so much better.
My dumb brain went to like the candy. I didn't know they made a movie off the Warhead candy. Like, I understand the IP industry and the movies, and they're like, maybe they turned it into something. I don't know. I'm done. My brain is mush. Also here, over there in Orlando, Florida, JP Acosta of SBNation.com. JP, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Doing great. Good to see you guys again.
Good to see you too, my friend. And also here up there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Jarrett Bailey of USA Today, the pump fake behind the steel curtain everywhere else. Jarrett, good evening, sir. How are you?
Well, fantastic. Yeah, it's always good to be here. I got a tattoo appointment on Wednesday. Really excited about. So it'll be, good. It's been a good week for me.
What are you getting?
My sister and I are getting something similar because we've always wanted to get not quite matching, but tattoos that go together. I don't know what it's going to be yet. It's going to be on my neck, behind my ear. So okay. we'll see what I end up getting. I'm not sure yet.
Interesting. Yeah. Evan, are you done with tattoos or no? Or are you going to keep adding?
No. I've got this weird, I'm in purgatory where my tattoo artist who I really like lives in Denver.
Hmm.
He did the tattoo on my arm. He's a friend of mine, he's been out here to visit and stuff. So out of respect, I keep wanting to get the rest of the ones I want to do with him. He's incredibly talented. But yeah, I have a bunch of tattoos that I really want to get that I just haven't been able to. But it's probably a good thing from a money spending perspective.
Mm. Jimmy, do you have any tattoos or no?
No, I thought about getting one, but then I decided not to because they're so expensive.
I have no idea what a tattoo costs. I'm not going to lie. You could tell me a number and I would believe you.
Certainly varies by place.
Basically, okay. All of these individually were $200.
Oh, okay.
Which is crazy.
It gets to the point though, because they're it's so small and insignificant. I don't want to waste my time doing a 30-minute tattoo and charge you $75. So it's you got to pay them a little bit and tip them so that it's worth their time.
It's crazy because I got the half sleeve I have on my right arm cost me $250. So it just kind of varies on where you go and if your artist, because I was in college still when I got the sleeve, and I just had a really cool artist who had a below market value that he charged. So I got a little bit lucky with that. But there's I got one on my left bicep that's not big and it cost me $175. So it just kind of varies. It's crazy.
Isn't the bicep the most painful spot you can
closer,
get?
Closer you get to the armpit, it starts stinging a little bit more. My hand wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I thought it would be much worse, but it was, it wasn't too bad.
Collarbone.
Oh, sternum. Yeah, you have collarbone, don't you?
Yeah, I have one right across my chest. Collarbone.
Did that one hurt?
Sternum. They're nightmares.
Oh.
It's just sharp, fiery pain that doesn't go away.
You're really selling me on getting the whole tattoo thing. Sharp, fiery pain that doesn't go away. It sounds awesome.
I can see Chase having the funniest tattoo, the Loch Ness monster on his lower back or something.
No, dude, he would have something boring like a ring spun notebook with a blank page.
That actually sounds awesome.
Yeah,
he'd have some grass tattooed on him.
Yeah,
love some grass. Get some zoysia.
It's just a nice lawnmower on grass. No, I think Chase getting a hyper realistic tattoo of his dog on his forearm would be dope.
I could do it. She's right here. She's asleep. She's right next to me. She's got I literally change out her handkerchief for each month. So she's got her St. Patrick's Day clover one for this month. And we do our photo shoots. I'm excited for Easter next month and my birthday month. So that'll be fun. So that little things to look forward to when you're in your mid-30s. God, I'm washed. Anyway, going forward here, this is the NFL Super Friends on this very show where we talk ostensibly all things NFL. We have a lot of NFL to talk about. First things first, though, Evan, Chase Young, which I caught my eye today. We were wondering on last week's show where Chase Young might end up. Will he be back with the San Francisco 49ers? 49ers continue to reshuffle their defensive line. And now we know that Chase Young will not be returning to New Orleans. Your immediate reaction to the Niners not bringing back Chase Young and him signing for 13 mil to join the New Orleans Saints?
I mean, I think signing Chase Young for 13 mil on 1 year deal is like something a team like the Saints has to do. You know what I mean? Like Cam Jordan was all hyped about that and excited about it. And I, you know, good for that, but like nothing the Saints have really done this season off season has moved the needle for me. And I don't think adding a Chase Young is going to change that. I hope that maybe his production kind of picks up, I guess. But I think the 49ers have done a really, really good job of like retooling what they had last year, as boring as it has been.
So, JB, like the funny part I saw on Twitter, someone quote, it might have been Mike Tenier. I don't know if y'all saw his quote tweet about this.
I was just about to bring up Mike Tenier's tweet. Yeah.
It's so great. Jared, do you have it off the top of your head? I don't want to butcher
it. He's like, yeah, it's such a Saints move because if it works out, then they can bring him back next year. If it doesn't work out, then I'll be gone. In the meantime, overpay. And it's, yeah, very much the New Orleans Saints. That's pretty.
It really is.
It checks out.
Hey, but thank you for the fully guaranteed money because that'll help the compensation pick for the 49ers.
There you go. So what's the plan then, Evan? Like, do they go in-house? Does it change how they draft now with Chase Young being officially out of the picture? What does this mean for San Francisco now that they know that Chase Young will not be back?
I don't know that. I don't think they are going to go defensive end early. I think Leonard Floyd is kind of what they think is going to be a really good addition to that roster next to Bosa. And I think, you know, you're always going to get the Chris Kocurek boost, right? And I think he knew that, which is why he wanted to be there. And it's obviously probably why there was such a neat, like there was a video of him today saying that the Niners, like, you know, came out very aggressively and were like, this is how much we want to give you. And he was like, I'm down. I think they both understand that it's like a really good, you know, a really good setting for both of them, mm-hmm. I guess I should say.
JP, when you look at the fit schematically for Chase Young in New Orleans, do you like it? Does it make sense for where they are? Is this how they should have handled their offseason free agent dollars? What say you with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine fit. He's a hand in the dirt defensive end. He can provide some pass rush juice when he's fully motivated and when he wants to play. I think it's a fine deal. It's a 1 year prove it deal. The Vikings did the same thing in Marcus Davenport last year. I think for the Saints, this is about the extent of what they can do, considering they are, again, pushing the cap to the furthest extreme. So, I mean, yeah, they need to get younger on the defensive side of the ball. This is a great way to get younger on that side. It's fine. It's not a needle mover. It's not a, oh, this is going to be the final chip to the Saints actually being good. No, it's a fine spot for Chase Young to find another way to kind of rejuvenate his career.
JP, your biggest free agent winner, and this is not just player, this is team. Who do you think, as of right now, March 18th, when we're recording this, who is your biggest free agent winner?
Biggest free agent winner. That's a really good question. I think I am going to go with the Houston Texans. I think
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
They went into free agency knowing that they needed to get better on defense, and they went out and signed Danielle Hunter, which, I mean, again, Danielle Hunter for 2 years, $49 million, $48 guaranteed when you compare it to John Gannard getting $72 million over 4 years. I feel like I would pay Danielle Hunter that money every single day of the week. They replaced Blake Cashman with Azeez Al-Shaair, who has experience in D'Amico Ryan's defense. He can be kind of the Madden user. D'Amico Ryan's player in that defense. You add Danico Autry, again, another ass kicker on that defense. They just need one more piece as a defensive tackle. They need a true three technique, and they're going to really start to get cooking. But I really love the moves that they have made, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, the Joe Mixon thing is fine. It's not a major needle mover for me. If Joe Mixon can be the back that he was in 2021, that's perfect.
What do we think is going to happen there? Because I don't like that. Joe Mixon to me is the perfect like off-season signing where it's like everyone will focus on like prime version of them, but they won't end up being that. But like, what are we going to get?
We are going to get a player who might not be as explosive as he used to be.
Are we going to get like a David Montgomery signing?
I don't think it's David Montgomery, because David Montgomery still has some juice. I don't think Joe Mixon has a lot of juice left, but he's an experienced back who can play between the tackles. You can pair him with a rookie back that they take, and that'll be a good running back group. This isn't a guy that you're going to bring in to be a bell cow, and they didn't pay him or extend him like a bell cow back. They didn't trade compensation for him to be a bell cow back. This is a guy you pair with another back that you draft, or if you make a late signing.
So, I mean, Jarrett, when you look at little things too that Houston did, which I thought was interesting. So they acquired the 42nd and 188th pick in the 2024 draft, Minnesota, and then Minnesota's 2025 second round pick from the Vikings for the 23rd and 232nd pick in the draft. What do you make of that weird deal they kind of did with Minnesota?
Yeah, I thought that that was weird, because they didn't really, like, if you do the value calculator thing, I mean, Minnesota clearly got more value for that. So I don't know if that was them more so saying like, hey, you know, 23 to 42, there's not too much of a drop off in talent from there. We're comfortable with where we are, and, you know, we can get more picks later on in next year. That's fine. I would like to see them get another cornerback opposite of Derek Stingley. I would like to see them still get maybe another weapon offensively. You can't have enough juice offensively in today's NFL. So, you know, they'll get Tank Dell back, Nico Collins as well. I wouldn't mind seeing them continue to add to that. Where did Noah Brown end up going? Somebody refresh my mind.
Let me check.
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Because I know he went somewhere and it wasn't Houston. So I think getting somebody else to
play. He said he's still with Houston.
Did he resign with Houston?
I guess so. Yeah, he's still with Houston right now.
Yeah, he resigned.
He did resign, yeah.
For some reason in my mind, he went somewhere else. But no, that's all right. Well, that changes things in my head then. I would have liked to see them be a little bit more aggressive for a game-breaking running back. You know, a lot of people are saying, hey, Saquon Barkley to Houston makes a lot of sense. It could be very fun. He ultimately goes to Philadelphia. But they're doing all the right things. You know, you pointed out the Danielle Hunter signing, pairing him with Will Anderson. I think that's great. And with Houston, you know, if the progression keeps going, what's the word I'm looking for? If it's a linear progression, you know, what we saw last year, you know, winning a playoff game, getting to the divisional round, you know, if they can add one or two more pieces, maybe they can get to the AFC Championship game, especially if CJ Stroud keeps progressing the way that we saw last year. So Houston's a fun team, man. I think that they're going to be right back in the thick of things. In an AFC South, that could be very fun. You know, with I think Jacksonville's going to be in the mix again, depending on what happens with Indy and Richardson. I mean, they were on the brink of making the playoffs last year with Gardner Minshew. So I think there's going to be a very, very fun division. And I didn't expect to say that, you know, a calendar year ago when, you know, we were like, all right, you know, Jacksonville and then everybody else. But no, there's been, you know, Houston and Indy have both, you know, made their points of saying, no, we're in this thing too. So it'll be a fun division.
I don't know. Like, I think Houston's just kind of pulling away. And is there a part of you, Evan, that when you're looking at the Houston roster and with D'Amico Ryan's running things, like, are you starting to see a lot of similarities between how San Francisco has built their juggernaut that Houston's doing? You think it's different?
I do think it's very different. I do think it's the difference of having a truly elite quarterback. Listen, Brock Purdy played out of his absolute mind last year. But the Texans to me just remind me of how a team can play and what a team can do in the offseason when they know that they have an elite quarterback. Like, Joe Mixon doesn't have to be Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon needs to be late DeMarco Murray for the Cowboys. Like, really, like, he doesn't have to do much because the quarterback's, you know, the real, like, threat. Like, Damian Pierce is still on the Texans.
I mean? It's like, going to be more or less, you know, similar to what they did last year, like a, you know, 1-2 punch with Singletary. It's just going to be mixed in this time around.
I think Damian Pierce will probably, he'll probably exist a lot better when he's not being leaned on so heavily. So I think it's really all going to be about CJ Stroud. The one thing I will say is there is a certain 49ers legend that went to, well, he's not retiring yet, but he did move to Florida. And I think that could be very interesting.
That team's run by idiots. We don't have to.
I'm excited, man. Eric Armstead would be, I'm excited.
That's the best Jaguars move. That is no bullshit. That is the best move Trent Baalke has ever made as a Jaguars GM.
And the funniest part about it is it's probably just because he drafted him. That's all it is.
Pretty much. I mean, I think they went about their entire process. This free agent period has been incredibly stupid, but somehow it's probably still going to work out because Trevor Lawrence is very good. And with Trevor Lawrence, you're probably going to win at least 9 games. You're not going to bottom out.
That's Trevor crazy. Lawrence. Like,
is he going to beat out Mac this offseason?
Chase.
Anyway.
What do you think? Like, if you could have started this whole offseason over, just wipe it clean, start like from scratch as if like a dry erase board, knowing like what the players have gone now, what would you have done with the Jaguars to really make them an elite team?
First, you extend Josh Allen and don't franchise tag him, because now you're gonna have to pay him whatever Brian Burns just got. Brian Burns just got $157 million.
Goodness.
So you're gonna have to pay Josh Allen that. Second, you franchise tag Calvin Ridley if you really want him. You don't have to give Atlanta the third round pick if you franchise tag Calvin Ridley. You don't have to give them the second round pick. You can still give them the third and tag Calvin Ridley. They operated this entire offseason under the presumption that Calvin Ridley would take the hometown discount, and then Tennessee came in and offered him like $30 million a year. And he was like, oh, well, I guess I'll just follow the money, which is good on him. But again, terrible process by the Jaguars, because now you have a bunch of guys who are very specific role players. Christian Kirk is very good in his role. Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis in his role. Zay Jones is fine in his role. You don't have the guy to bring that all together. Calvin Ridley was the guy who was going to bring that all together. A receiver room of Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, and a rookie is a whole lot better than what they're planning to do, which is Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Gabe Davis, and a rookie. I don't even know what you're going to do with 17. It would have to take them drafting A.D. Mitchell for me to be like, oh, okay, I kind of see the vision here. I get it now.
But is there a vision there, or is it just they're like jumping from one thing to the next, and it seems like they're kind of running with their head, that like the chicken with their head cut off type deal?
Well, I think their plan was to have Calvin Ridley back, but they didn't get him. I see the vision for what they want to be offensively if A.D. Mitchell is the pick. Brian Thomas is very good. I don't know about his fit with the Jaguars, because he and Gabe Davis do kind of the same thing right now in terms of what routes they run. So, again, you have two guys who run two routes, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, who was great for like – Zay Jones, who was the glue of everything. So you need a guy like A.D. Mitchell who can be the consistent separator on the outside to kind of tie everything together. So I don't know if you're going to have that. But I think the defensive signings have been pretty good outside of Darnell Savage. That guy stinks.
Why?
By the way, being reported that the 49ers wanted 17 and Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk.
That report was nowhere near close.
Are we getting into this now? A trade with our two teams?
No, I'm just saying, first off, the 49ers do not negotiate with terrorists. They're not trading with Trent Baalke. That's not happening. Period. You think I'm joking? I mean that sincerely. There's no world in which the 49ers are trading their biggest, the most valuable asset that they have. It's not going to happen. Two, if it was going to happen, why would they trade for, I mean, Zay Jones is like such a one-off. I think maybe they might have the discussion of the number one pick. I think the first round pick. I think the first round pick might have made sense, but they're not negotiating with terrorists. They're not touching that.
So who would be the Niners?
If the true compensation was 17 and Zay Jones or Brandon Ayuk, I will drive Zay Jones to the airport.
Yeah, the Jaguars would take that.
Who are they taking in that scenario, though? Who are the Niners targeting with 17 if they get that?
another receiver.
I have to, but like who fits the most? Who is like the most immediate ready to play? Because like whoever you draft has to be like ready to go. Like
the,
just
the if reality you're is, it doesn't matter because whoever you think it is not who it's going to be.
Is it worse to trade Ayuk than AJ Brown, or is AJ Brown worse? If both were to happen and this was the final deal, what would be a worse trade?
Well, it depends on if the Titans draft Treylon Burks to be AJ Brown after trading for AJ Brown.
Hmm.
I would rather than just take like go Kool-Aid McKinstry at cornerback than actually take a receiver.
I mean, that would also make a lot of sense. I think in the Jaguars case, again, I doubt that it was actually 17 and Zay Jones, because if that was the offer, then the Jaguars probably would have done that.
Right.
But I think it's kind of been, not to say it's like orchestrated or anything, but I think Brandon Ayuk's camp is using a lot of this to drive up his number and be like, hey, pay me or somebody else will want to, which is absolutely fair. He is one of the best receivers in football and is 26 years old. I think for Jacksonville, the people who are saying, oh, it's, you don't know who you're going to get at 17. It's a deep wide receiver class. None of those guys are Brandon Ayuk right now.
Yeah.
It's the whole family guy, mystery box in a boat thing.
Right.
The receiver could be anything. It could even be Brandon Ayuk. But why would you turn down Brandon Ayuk right now? I don't care if you have to pay him $30 million.
And that's the point that I was going to get to, because everybody bitches and moans about the money. Like, everybody wants a star player until the star player wants star player money. Like, you're not going to get an elite player on, you know, third string money. It's just not going to happen. So you can't have your cake and eat it too in that situation.
But not only that, but like, I think Brandon Ayuk is a very like interesting case when it comes to the general world of trading and like marquee stars and all this. Like Brandon Ayuk, his production, you know, since he was a rookie, is not an indicator of how good he is. I think like he's probably could have been the best receiver in the NFL on the exact right, perfect situation. I'm not saying that he's better than any of them, but like he was probably put in one of the worst situations for him for the first few years because they had so many options and Kyle is just Kyle at times and doesn't want to pass. What was the line? He had like the least amount of targets for the most amount of yards this year or something like that. Like the ratio to like how many targets he got was so little, but the production was so heavy. Like, Brandon Ayuk is so much more of a star. So if you're the 49ers and people are calling to trade for him, I don't think anyone is going to give you what the 49ers know he's worth.
Especially when, you know, their top receiver isn't a separator and isn't somebody who can, you know, create his own space and whatnot. So I think that he's invaluable to what they do offensively, even if it doesn't show up necessarily in the stat sheet. I don't think he's going to end up going anywhere. I'd be very surprised if he did. We've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah.
I like it. Jarrett, your team signed Russell Wilson. We talked about that last week. And then they were like, we're not done. We're going to trade Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then we are going to acquire Justin Fields to back up Russell Wilson maybe for a year, but also maybe lock up Russell Wilson to a long-term extension. Walk me through what the Steelers have decided to do and the path that they've elected to ride down here with Wilson and Fields. Jared Bailey.
This has been the best week to be a Steelers fan for me in years. I haven't been this excited and this amped in a very long time. So, I mean, what everybody for the most part knows what happens, but in case you have lived under a rock for the past week, the Steelers signed Russell Wilson, to which Kenny Pickett did not enjoy that and canceled workouts with his receivers and wanted out of Pittsburgh because Mike Tomlin made it clear that Russell Wilson would be going into OTAs and camp as a starter. So they traded him to Philadelphia. This is coming off the back in week 17 when he refused to dress as Mason Rudolph's backup. So, I mean, this is a snowball effect that has been going on for a few months now. And then once they traded Pickett, that's when the Justin Fields stuff kind of kicked back up because they had been interested in Fields before. And then Nick Farbaugh of Steelers Now reported, hey, they're still interested in Justin Fields. Justin Fields preferred to go to Pittsburgh, and Ryan Poles, you know, credit to him, did right by Justin Fields and center to Pittsburgh. And now, you know, you got a quarterback room that goes from Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. All of them are gone. And you go to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, man. I credit to Omar Khan because, I mean, you guys, you're my friends. You follow me. You know how my thought process has been for the last while. I have been very down in the dumps, and I have been constantly bitching and moaning about what this team, you know, the quote-unquote Steeler way. Omar Khan made it very clear that's dead and that he is very much carving out a new path for the Steelers. I'm excited, man. I don't expect Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields to automatically become like top 12 to 15 quarterbacks in football. But if whomever goes out there and can be like last year, Russ is probably between like, I don't know, the 17th and 20th best quarterback in football. If you want to put him somewhere in there, hey, that's a hell of a lot better than the quarterback play they had last year. So
is it too early to ask the question? Like, to you on a scale of 1 to 10, what is Wilson and what is Fields? Like, how far are they from each other? Because it doesn't seem, I don't think the gap is that far.
I don't think the gap's that far either. I know some people are freaking out about like, oh man, they're naming Russ the starter and not even giving Justin Fields a chance to compete. Guys, this is the same team that said, we believe in Kenny Pickett. We're not going to pursue any sort of big splash at quarterback. Like, it's okay to establish QB1 and QB2 going into the offseason. Like, that's normal for teams to do. And if anything, it just establishes a starting point. Russ is the starter. Doesn't mean that things can't change. Things have already drastically changed for the Steelers. So,
well, no, but less about what the Steelers will do. I want your opinion. Like how bad or like what needs to happen before you start? Let's assume like Fields has like the prototypical Fields looks great in camp. Fields looks like he's got really good rapport, taking advantage of the reps he's getting, blah, 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 blah. What do you do if like Russell Wilson comes out and is like at best the best version of the worst version we've seen of Russell Wilson so far? Like, how soon do you pull the plug?
I think Russell Wilson has to look tumultuous in camp and OTAs and everything for him to not start week one. I think he's going to start week one, but if Pittsburgh starts, let's say by week six, they're 2-3 or 2-4, and it's obvious that Russ just it's just not working. Then, you know, you can say, all right, that's why we traded for Justin Fields. You know, we'll put him in and see how he can take advantage of Arthur Smith's offense. And again, I'm cool with them going into the season with Russ as a starter. But if I had to guess right now, Justin Fields is going to start some games at some point. I also wouldn't be surprised if Arthur Smith contrives some sort of like Justin Fields package for him to get a select number of snaps per game, just because like if you've got an athlete like that, take advantage of him. But I'm cool with Russ going into everything as a starter. I think that last year, he took a massive step from 2022 to 2023. Obviously, 2022 was just so low that it was hard to get worse. But I'm cool with going into camp with Russ as a starter, seeing what Justin Fields does. And there's not really a loss scenario for the Steelers here. Like, best case scenario, hey, Russ plays well. You win some games. You're in the playoff hunt. Maybe you win 10 games again and sneak into the playoffs. Maybe, like, the defense looks even better than it did last year, which I think it should. And you can, you know, end this playoff win drought and steal a win in a playoff game. Worst case scenario is, oh man, Russ really doesn't look good. You turn it over to Justin Fields. And he does play well. Or I guess the worst case scenario is that they both stink. But even then, you invested almost nothing into them. And then you can figure out the quarterback situation next year. So everything right now, man, it's so much less grim than what it was 10 days ago. And yeah, I'm on cloud nine, man, which says a lot going from horrible quarterback play to like mediocre quarterback play for me to be this ecstatic, but that's where I'm at. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do.
You're on cloud nine, knowing that you'll probably be a 9-win team shows how bad things have been.
I think that they'll win more than 9 games. I'll say that right now.
I mean, if they did, I wouldn't be surprised, but like, I think it's going to be a weird year for the Steelers. Like, I mean,
Occam's razor tells you, so they're playing a third place schedule. They played a third place schedule last year. They've got better quarterback play. They've got a better offensive coordinator. They've got on paper, a better defense.
Tell me this then, who's got the better quarterback room? Jimmy G, Trey Lance in previous year when Trey Lance was the starter, or Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
I think overall the Steelers in that situation are the better quarterback.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. Trey Lance ended up being the highest compensation traded for those quarterbacks.
Either way I think with this trade, like Jared said, the Steelers have basically invested nothing into this. They paid Russ $3 million. It's right not like they are tied to Russell Wilson to start this entire year.
But haven't they invested time? When we say they've invested no money, but they have invested time. Because now this is your quarterback room going to next year. So
no,
you have invested time.
No,
here.
I wouldn't say that. Let's put it this way. They had Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
They were in a bad situation. For them to punt this year and go, hey, best case scenario, Russell Wilson returns some of that magic. Worst case scenario, we've got a backup to see if Justin Fields could even be something. They were punting this year regardless. There was no, like, no, there was no Steelers team that was going to win the division.
This is so going into
punting in terms of they're not winning the division.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they weren't winning the division with Kenny Pickett.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, they're not winning the division with Russell Wilson. They're not winning the division with Justin Fields. So, but I'm saying if you're getting that type of production and wins, why not? I mean, it's the box. But you didn't have a boat. You want to see what's in the box.
Yeah, and with the Steelers too, like it wasn't just like, hey, Omar Khan going out and signing Russell Wilson. No, it was Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Pat Freiermuth, like leaders of this team going to Russell Wilson, going to Omar Khan saying, look, we want Russell Wilson. We need a change of quarterback. And that's why they did it. Cam Hayward and Russ FaceTime for an hour ahead of him signing. They all had dinner together immediately after he signed. Like the team knew that Kenny Pickett wasn't the guy, which ultimately I think was another big reason why he wanted to get out of there because he lost the locker room. And I think the Steelers also recognize, like, dude, if we have competent quarterback, like if we just have the most mediocre quarterback play for the past 2 years, we're winning 10, 11 games, we might have a playoff win. And I think that's what they recognize right now. And that's why they wanted to go get a guy like Russ, who, you know, is right now the definition of, okay, he's mediocre quarterback, but as a seasoned vet. And then you get a Justin Fields with that. They're in such a better place. Not to mention the fact you signed Patrick Queen, which, by the way, Patrick Queen, the largest external free agent signing in the history of the Steelers in terms of money. They signed Deshaun Elliott as
well.
And
he's a Raven.
Oh, dude, that's the best part of it. You handicapped the Ravens in the process. That's a double whammy. They signed Deshaun Elliott as well from the Dolphins. And those two signings also say that they want Minkah Fitzpatrick to have less on his plate so he can just patrol center field like he used to. You know, if you need to load the box with the safety and run support, Deshaun Elliott. You got Patrick Queen now patrolling the middle of the field, makeup intercept passes on the back end. So there's definitely a proof of concept of what they're doing defensively as well. They acquired cornerback Dante Jackson in the Deontay Johnson trade. I think they're going to add another cornerback to that room because outside of Joey Porter and Dante Jackson, there's not really a lot of, you know, proven talent. Even that Dante Jackson is still, you know, not one of the top corners in the league, to put it nicely, but better than Levi Wallace and what Patrick Peterson showed last year. So they're showing that they want to get better, and they're showing that they're serious about winning and wanting to, you know, win a playoff game and, you know, maybe more than that. But I'm much more excited for what the season has in store for Pittsburgh today than I was, you know, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. It's night and day.
Good.
JB, so I'm curious on this front, and this is something that, I mean, reading different pieces and listening to different smart folks talk about it, like, I can't answer this question, and I'm curious if you can. Where is the disconnect with Justin Fields with how the league clearly sees Justin Fields as a quarterback in 2024 versus how sport like Twitter and sport like just the Twitter sports fans, NFL fans see Justin Fields. Because I mean, someone, there was a Falcons fan who retweeted a freezing cold take from, I think it was Mel Kiper from a couple of months ago, where there's like rumors around league circles that the Falcons might give up their number 8 for Justin Fields. It's like, that was only a couple months ago that that was popping up. It's like Justin Fields could go for a top 10 pick. And then you see what the final haul is. I don't know what's true and what's not. Some people talk about his processing, his he holds on to the ball too long. Like, what is actually real, and how would you best explain the disconnect between how people view Justin Fields? Because I just feel like it's all over the place.
I think it has to do with what I would say is a crisis in quarterback development at the NFL level. I think the college game and NFL game is so drastically different in terms of what is being asked of a quarterback. And now not a lot of guys have a lot of time to develop because, one, the pressure of taking a guy early and like only letting him sit there's pressure to play as soon as the vet or the incumbent quarterback plays poorly. There's pressure there. And I just don't think coaches want to develop quarterbacks anymore. They want to they want Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes without doing the stuff that got them to where they were. And there aren't a lot of guys like that. CJ Stroud, probably not going to happen again. There is a higher chance of any of the top three quarterbacks in this year's draft needing a little bit of time before they get good. There's a higher chance of that happening than a guy like CJ Stroud happening. You know, that doesn't happen very often. I think when it comes to Justin Fields, the disconnect is how much you want to develop, how much time you want to take to develop and continue to help Justin Fields' growth. I think the NFL and I think NFL offices really don't want to help players grow, especially at that position. And I think a lot of it is because you don't have that job for long. You're not going to have the shot to be a head coach very long or very often. So you got to try and get in where you get in. You got to try and get the wins when you can. So you roll with the guy who you know can win you games. It's why you trade for, or not trade, it's why you sign Sam Darnold or you sign Marcus Mariota. You know, it's why you sign those guys. But I think that's where the disconnect is with Fields, knowing that he is an incredibly talented passer, but it's just going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a little bit more reps and seeing in-game action.
And not to mention the fact that, you know, we talk about coaching matters and situations matter and things of that nature. And it's clear that Fields has all the physical tools and talents that you want from a modern NFL quarterback in terms of he can run like the wind. He's got a powerful arm, but he was also dealing with a Luke Getsy offense, and his top targets were Equanimee St. Brown and Dante Pettis. So until last year when he got DJ Moore and he had consecutive games back to back where he threw 4 touchdown passes and looked incredible. And then he suffered an injury and, you know, things didn't necessarily go the way that Chicago would have liked. So with him, like, there's obvious flaws and everything. He's not a perfect quarterback, which, you know, obviously is why Chicago's moving on. But the talent is evident. The tools are there. It's just a matter of harnessing it and going to a situation like Pittsburgh where you can play for a head coach like Mike Tomlin. I think a really, like, a hand.
Don't you guys have
fit.
Like a QB coach or something too that used to work with Peyton Manning?
Tom Arth is their new quarterback coach.
Yeah.
And I think the Arthur Smith offense fits Justin Fields like a glove. You know, you look at the quarterbacks that Artie's had over the past couple of years where it's been like, oh, Marcus Mariota, he's just a very much worse version of what Art would need.
Watch your mouth.
From Justin Fields.
Watch your mouth. He's a Heisman winner, all right?
That's right. He stinks. He's not good.
He's also aging quite fast.
Rapidly.
Yeah.
Rapidly aging.
Him and it's Desmond Ridder both
White
like
House
there
for
in
8 years.
'60s. Yeah.
Well, first that's what playing in Tennessee does to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
where is he now? Washington?
Yeah. Yeah. He's in Washington. So I think that Fields went to the perfect spot for him where it's stable. You got a top 5 head coach in the NFL. You've got an offense that fits what he does well. I think that it's just a matter of, you know, finding somebody that can harness that. And can Artie Smith do that? I think, you know, he's a good offensive coordinator. And the last time that we saw him as an offensive coordinator, there was a lot of success. and we know that the Steelers and Mike Tomlin loved him. It's been widely reported that if he was available at 24, when in that draft class, that they were going to take him. Obviously, he went 11. They didn't have that chance, but I think that it's a good situation for him. And like I said earlier, I would bet good money that we'll see him start games this year.
I also think he and Russ are a little more stylistically similar than people.
Yeah, he said coming into the league that he modeled himself a lot. After Russ. So
I think Russ is just a shorter, older version of Justin Fields at their current stages of play, in terms of what they are asked to do, what they can do, and what they lack in terms of how they play the quarterback's position. So even if you have to go to Justin Fields this season, you're not changing the offense that much. You might add a little bit more QB run game because Justin Fields can do that,
right?
And Russ can't, but that's the only thing really that you're going to change. So this is a low risk, high reward move for the Steelers.
Yeah, and the criticisms around both of them the past couple of years have been basically the same. Is that okay? They hold the ball a little bit too long. They take too many sacks. They try to create too much when sometimes things just aren't there. Yeah, like you pointed out, JP, the difference between Russ and Justin Fields right now is that in those situations, Justin can rip off a 20-yard run and things of that nature. Russ can't necessarily do that yet, but I think that in terms of having that veteran presence, I think it makes sense as to why they're kicking things off with him as the one and just seeing where things go.
What is the cutoff? I'm curious from y'all's perspective. Like, we're seeing Trey Lance obviously move, Mac Jones moved, Sam Darnold going to get an opportunity in Minnesota. He might be the week one starter depending on how things go in Minnesota. When is it like, as more QB connoisseurs and NFL connoisseurs, like, when do y'all see that, like, or in the past, when you think about quarterbacks in the past, when it's like, they're too far gone, you can't fix this? When is it the meme of like, it does not work, but could be fun to fix? Like, when do you reach that point with a quarterback? Is there an age? Is there a trait that you see that you're like, this is not going
to
be fixed?
I think it's after year two. I think that's what we're seeing more and more, is that you get 2 years. Like, you get 1 year to try to figure things out and show us something near, like, between like weeks 12 and 18. Like, hey, he's clearly making progress. Let's see what he does in year two. And then in year two, if it starts to click, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, there's something there. I think Trevor Lawrence is kind of the perfect example of that, where he was in a horrible situation in year one under Urban Meyer, showed some flashes. And then year two, especially down the stretch, he went the division, win a playoff game. So there's clear progression there. Or you're going to be like the Giants and somehow still in year six of Daniel Jones, which they should have moved off of long ago. But I think 2 years is kind of what you're getting now.
I think the one thing I will say is that what we need to, like, not overreact. I think we're going to look back 10 years from now and say this is probably, the Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson draft class was probably one of the most overhyped. I'm not going to say it's the worst ever. I mean, it's pretty bad so far, but it's not as much as, oh, this is like the worst class, as so much as like everyone thought that Zach Wilson was going to be good, that Justin Fields was going to be good. A lot of people, like, remember, Trey Lance was the one with the biggest question marks because it was like, well, we just haven't seen it. But no one was saying that about Justin Fields. And then you obviously had Trevor Lawrence, the crown jewel, like the last decade, like foundationally securing that QB class. So I think right now, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, we got to get rid of him, got to get rid of him. But I think this is just teams realizing very quickly that these quarterbacks were nowhere near what they were hoping they would be. Like, nowhere near. I think the buyer's remorse was immediate. I don't think we're going to see this short of a leash in the next couple classes.
So I think with the 21 QB class, the thing that has to come in play is the COVID year. That was the first COVID year where we actually had to scout. Zach Wilson was playing against a bunch of people with all the time in the world in the pocket. When
playing
everybody against
Frito-Lay A&M.
Yeah, everybody was at home. And everybody's like, oh, this guy has a big arm. And they called him Warman Mahomes. And it wasn't really hitting when he got to the NFL. I think there are certain aspects of QB play that have to be translated. That's something you really cannot teach when it comes to the NFL and how to play quarterback in the modern NFL. The first one is sack avoidance. I think even when you look at, again, using him as an example, because everybody uses him as an example, even with Josh Allen at Wyoming, he was very good at mitigating the sacks and mitigating bad plays, even though he had the wackadoo bozo gene where he would throw the ball into double coverage occasionally. He would be able to not take sacks. Patrick Mahomes, when he was at Texas Tech, not taking sacks a lot. All the guys, like especially Justin Fields. Justin Fields takes a lot of sacks. It's why it hasn't really translated yet. C.J. Stroud doesn't take a lot of sacks. Jordan Love doesn't take a lot of sacks. That is something that has to be, you have to be able to mitigate those negative plays. You can't turn bad plays into catastrophes. So I think that's a major aspect of QB play that is needed in the modern NFL, but it's not something that you just get rid of a guy if they don't have, you know? So like Jared said, 2 years, maybe three, if things are really, really dire, but you have to start showing flashes, or when there are signs that your biggest weaknesses coming out are starting to become glaring holes. And that's also on the environment that you're in. I think a lot of this is due to the environment. I'm not saying that guys like Kenny Pickett and Desmond Ridder would have been better in better environments, but it would have helped a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the point that I try to make when having these arguments is, you know, we can point out like I was saying about Fields, like the situation for Fields wasn't good. It wasn't good for Kenny Pickett either. However, there was something clearly there with Justin Fields where he was still running all over the place. He was still having games where he would throw 4 touchdown passes. We didn't see any sort of glimpse of hope out of Pickett. We didn't see hardly anything from Desmond Ridder. So yes, situations matter, but good quarterbacks or guys who have the potential to be good at least show you some flashes. And we didn't really see much of anything from guys like Pickett, from guys like Ridder, from guys like Mac Jones, who after the year with McDaniels in just an absolutely dummied down perfect situation for Jones where he didn't have to really do much of anything. Obviously you lose that and it's the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge show. Yeah, it's a bad situation, but it became very evident very quickly that, oh, Mac Jones just stinks. So situations matter, but at the same time, guys with the potential to be good or guys who just are good can overcome those situations and show you at least something.
Mac Jones does stink, though.
Correct.
I don't know. He's going to be in the league for a while. I think Mac
Jones. Hey, shut up.
Oh, no, he's going to be a journeyman backup. Yeah,
I think he's going to start again somewhere. I don't know where. I think he finds his way back.
You know what I don't understand, JP? Why is it that Mac Jones, it's like when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Like, what possibly have you seen to give you any sense that he's going to start again, let alone?
So with Mac Jones, I think the rookie year, I think that showed what he can do with a competent, like when everything is right. They had a competent offensive coordinator, a competent offensive line, competent weapons, and Mac Jones could be Kirk Light.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best you'd get as a starter. And I think from that year on, he didn't really have that.
Did you think he could hit Minnesota? Speaking of, that just popped in my head. Like, if he had gotten traded to Minnesota this offseason with Justin Jefferson and company, do you think he'd have a good season with O'Connell and Justin Jefferson and company next year?
I mean, sure. I think a lot of quarterbacks can have a good season.
Do you know what would happen? Let me answer that. Do you know what would happen?
What?
Kirk Cousins would get inducted into the Hall of Fame immediately because they would. I mean, like, the end of the season, they would. Mac Jones would have played terrible, with Justin Jefferson.
He would have been fine. It wouldn't have been anything like crazy or like anything like, oh, Mac Jones silencing the doubters or anything. Like, it wouldn't have been special.
It would have been like the 24th best quarterback in football.
Yeah, it would have been league average or below, you know, but that's what you're getting with Mac Jones. You know, the hope is you can get to a level of Kirk. And I think there's a little bit of a breaking point with the current quarterbacks where you have a bunch of guys who are really, really good and a bunch of guys who are really, really bad. There's no middle class of quarterbacks. You don't get paid to be a middle class quarterback. You know, you either have to be one of those dudes or you're on a rookie contract.
And JP and I talked about this on my show a couple weeks ago where, you know, you can obviously every team wants to be able to get a superstar quarterback, but if you don't have one, then building a juggernaut on the other side of the ball and getting as many weapons as you can, and then just hoping that you can find a guy like Kirk, then that's probably your second best option. Is okay, yeah, we don't have a Mahomes or Josh Allen, but we can, you know, we can get, you know, the 14th or 15th best quarterback in football and just build a defense that'll beat the piss out of you and get them, you know, a good receiver and a hopefully okay running back and just zig while everybody else zags, I think is how JP put it. So that's probably your second best option. The second best option right now is to be a team like the Atlanta Falcons. Is okay, we got Kirk Cousins, got a good defense, we got some good skill position guys. Let's see what happens.
JP, love it or leave it. Keenan Allen to the Chicago Bears.
So I think a large majority of people have overrated the Bears offseason, but this is a good trade. I think it makes a lot of sense for what Shane Waldron and for what the Bears need. This doesn't stop them from taking a receiver at 9 because Keenan Allen is good, but he's also 32 and is predominantly a slot-only receiver, but he can win in the short to intermediate areas of the field. That, combined with DJ Moore's explosive ability, gives you a nice 1-2 punch. You still need an outside receiver, so that shouldn't stop them from taking a receiver at 9 if they want to, but I also think they're probably not going to take a receiver at 9. I think that is going to be the, you take an offensive lineman or you trade back and take a defensive end.
I just don't understand the response. Like, listen, I think Keenan Allen has had an unbelievable career. Even like, you know, he said it himself, last year statistically was his best year. But like going from the Chargers and Justin Herbert to the Bears is a little different. Like, I feel like he's like just at the edge of like getting into his real twilight years as an NFL receiver. And he's going to a bad team. Like, they have the number one pick in the draft.
The Chargers wouldn't pay him. And I think that says a lot. You know,
right.
If somebody asked me to take a pay cut after the best year of my career, I'm going to tell him to kick rocks.
I love what he did. I love that he said, I'm going to go get paid. I just don't understand. Like, people were freaking out about this. Like, people were freaking out about this trade. Like genuinely, like, as if it was like some blockbuster trade. And I was like,
I think I freaked out about it more from the Charger perspective of keeping Joey Bosa and not Keenan Allen seems like a mistake. Yeah. But I think Keenan Allen is going to be a very good fit in Chicago for what they want to do. And this opens up a lot more of the Chargers can take a receiver if they want to. Or, I mean, you don't have to take a receiver. Just go straight bully ball.
And yes, they do. They're throwing to me.
You can take Brock Bowers and it'd be
you could do fun. That. I suppose you could do that, especially because Gerald Everett also is now in Chicago and their top tight end is Donald Parham.
Will Disley and Donald Parham are both blockers. You need a guy who can move. Brock Bowers.
And Jim Harbaugh made the dumb decision to hire Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator, and a tight end is probably going to be the number one target in that offense because the Chargers hate Justin Herbert.
Look, so you trade back, you draft an offensive lineman or Brock Bowers, you get 23 from the Vikings as well as getting 11, you can really do some damage here. I think, of course, they'll need a receiver because you can't realistically go into a season with Josh Palmer as your receiver one.
Right.
But drafting Brock Bowers or an offensive lineman with that first pick is not a bad scenario at all.
I would like to see them double up on pass catchers. If they do trade back, which I think they inevitably will because they need, like you pointed out, they need guys. So double up, get 11 and 23. If you take Brock Bowers, take a Ladd McConkey as well. Take a Troy Franklin or Brian Thomas. Get Justin Herbert, people who can catch the football.
I wouldn't double up in the first round because I think they also need a corner because opposite of Asante Samuel Jr. is you. You were also playing corner, but
they ain't paying me enough for this shit, man.
They need a second. They need some more weapons in the secondary. They need an.
Maybe they're waiting for Travis Hunter next year.
They need a right tackle. There's a lot of ways they can go, and
this ain't a 1 year project. Is basically what.
But I also think with the way the NFL is going, I think drafting an offensive tackle or drafting a right tackle at 11 and then drafting defense and then using that second round pick draft a receiver or something, that'd be fine. That'd be
Could they go alt first?
No. They might, but I don't think they should. I think Joe Alt is a left tackle. Do not play him at right tackle. That's just I think unless you are a special athlete like Penei Sewell or Tristan Wirfs, that move it's not Madden. It is not Madden where you can just go, oh, this guy's a good left tackle. Let's move him to right tackle to put in another left tackle. You can't just move guys like that because it's completely different. Those guys have been playing that spot their entire careers, their entire lives probably. You can't just flip them over. J.C. Latham talked about extensively through this draft process. He didn't want to move to left tackle. Like he knows he's a really good right tackle. He's an NFL a high-quality NFL caliber right tackle. Why would he move to left tackle and completely change everything about his view of playing the sport? We can't keep doing this. And I think Joe Alt is going to be a very good tackle. I just don't think he'll be a very good right tackle. If they want to get a very good right tackle, you can trade back and take Amarius Mims. Amarius Mims is really freaking good. And you can take him at 11 and it'd be perfectly fine.
Mims is huge. That is a very large.
I would be so happy if the 49ers traded up just to make sure they got him.
Mims? Good.
Mims and Trent Williams is a very, very large.
That's what I'm hoping Pittsburgh does is taking.
I think it's going to be Pittsburgh.
I think it will be.
You move Broderick Jones back to his natural left tackle spot. Yep. You put.
Have we Mims seen that though? Right tackle. Have we seen the same school twin tackle?
Andrew Thomas went to Georgia, so it's not the Giants.
Plus, the Steelers also have Darnell Washington, so that's basically three just guys on the line of scrimmage that all played at Georgia together. I'm on
board. Seems smart to me.
Just take all the best guys from the best teams. Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good,
just take
good draft.
Take all the guys who were on that team that scored 65 points in the national championship game, and put them on your team.
It seems like both Pennsylvania teams have that mindset over the last couple of years. You went to Georgia? Yeah, come on.
It's not difficult. Just go, hey, I want that guy. And they're probably wearing red and have a big G on the side of their helmet.
Correct.
Or a T. Anyway. Byron Young, right away.
Anyway.
Dude. Darnell Wright. Dude. Jalen Hyatt can have a big year. Your Hyatt Giants game.
He runs
Josh Palmer, wide receiver one on the Chargers.
We just sat here and talked about how the Chargers needed a receiver. Yeah. That's
Cordarrelle Patterson still finding his footing. Cedric Tillman, just wait.
Still finding his footing is a great way to hedge that.
Jalen Wright's going to be the first running back taken in the draft this year.
It's a good time. It's like being the tallest dwarf right now. This isn't exactly a stacked running back class.
Jalen Wright's he's great, man. Jalen Wright's going to be really good for whoever drafts him. I'm excited to watch Jalen Wright at the NFL level. Jalen Wright was awesome.
He's really good.
I have not watched a single down of him, so I don't know.
Ooh, you're missing out. Jalen, good. Watch the first run he had against Georgia. You don't have to watch the rest of the game. Just watch the first play.
Against Georgia was pretty sick.
Yeah, I was in the stands. I was in the south end zone where he ran in, and I almost fell over and had a heart attack. Like my wife, the whole section's just shaking. That's the loudest Neyland's been since Heupel's gotten there, and it's loud a lot. But that opener was unbelievable. He breaks through and you can see it. That's why I love the end zone view. I don't know if y'all prefer that when you go to NFL games, but give me end zone over sideline every day of the week, because I can see what's coming up. I can see when something opens up, anything like that. Love end zone. I did end zone with my dad for South Carolina, and we did end zone lower level for Georgia too, but it's just so much better. You can just see so much more. I love it. I wish I could do it every time.
I'm a corner guy. I like sitting in between the end zone and the sideline view, because I get kind of the best of both.
Okay. I've only been to one game, and it's not a game to write home about. So,
one game, NFL game or college ever?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big go to game guy. I much prefer staying at home and watching everything from the comfort of my couch. Yeah,
you gotta get you going. You gotta go to at least Penn State.
You need better friends.
Especially now, because I got so many responsibilities on Sundays. I can't really single out.
We can get you out on Saturdays.
Don't go to Penn State games.
You need better friends.
I would go to a Penn State game. Penn State's crazy
don't
environment. I would go to the Whiteout game. Whiteout game is like
sucks.
A
don't go to a Penn State game.
Evan, it seems like you usually sit in the end zone.
I will I traditionally, if I'm going to spend the money, I want to be like, say, the 40-yard line.
I've just never understood, like, maybe, and this is incredibly just blind of me because I've only been to one, but like, I can see the game much better from my house.
You have to understand, it's a different experience. I can't stress this enough.
Like it's, I said, I've been to one, and it was, you know, it was a fun time.
No, whatnot, I mean, like, especially
like, you know, the one thing, raining.
I don't think people talk about this enough about with football games, but if you go to a football game and have, let's say, great tickets, 200 level, right in the middle, you will like leave that game being like, I can't remember a single play. Like, I don't know if it's just me. Like, when you watch a football game at home, I feel like you could just sit there and watch the game and pay attention. But in the moment, you're cheering, you're screaming, you're looking, you know, someone's moving, you're getting a beer. Like, it's just all like a singular experience. It's just so different.
That's the thing. Like, the past like few years, I mean, I've been working Sundays, you know, so I got, like I said, too many things I got to write about where I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to stay home, man. And I enjoy my home on Sundays. And but I'm one of those people too, who's like, don't bother me. Like, I don't want to watch at the big group. I don't, it's just me and like two other people max. Outside of that, man, leave me alone.
JP's had like the best in-person NFL experience in a while.
I'm jealous of you for that, my friend. That's exciting.
JP being in the building for the comeback is an all-timer.
The two NFL games I've been to have been extremely fun for two completely different reasons.
What was the other one you've been to?
I went to the Jags-Panthers game this year. It was my girlfriend's first NFL game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And it was super fun. They had the Corgi races, and she was very excited for
Didn't
that.
Didn't CJ Beathard start that game?
Yeah, it was a CJ Beathard start. Legend. Somebody threw a helmet. There was a fight.
That's the game that David Tepper threw water on a fan.
David Tepper threw water on a fan at that game. Again, a lot of stuff happens. A lot of stuff happens at Jaguars games. You never know what you'll see.
I need to make it down there just so I can find Tony Khan.
I mean,
there you go.
You can tell him to invest more time in my team than in Fulham.
I'm sorry, but wrestling's making him a lot more money than his team is.
I'm just going to talk to him about wrestling.
All right, boys.
Evan signing out. That's Evan. You need to do. It's royalty free. I saw a TikTok of like the this girlfriend who plays the Oscar sound when her boyfriend's story goes on a little bit.
Oh my goodness!
It cracks me up. That's what Evan's doing right now. We need that sound effects when Evan's like, "I'm ready to go to bed." He just starts playing the Oscars.
I feel like I'm the only one here that like actually goes to bed at it early.
Well, also, let's be perfectly clear. Evan's 3 hours behind us, and Evan's the one who's always like, I'm getting tired.
Yeah, bro,
and
it's 9:20
LA
time.
But that's how I know that I go to bed at a much earlier time than you guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Time isn't even like a thing for you guys.
No, I'm 1:30 to 2:00 most days. I'm around 1:30 to 2:00.
I'm literally, like, I'm in bed by 9:30. I still have to take my dog out now, brush my teeth, shower, all of the above, and I would like to be asleep by 10:30, no later. I'm chalked.
All the above is a top tier T-Pain feature, by the way. Great song.
Absolutely. Mano, T-Pain, all the above. Just a banger.
That's a great highlight film song.
Yes. That was like part of our like soundtrack when we came out in high school basketball. That was a part of the track. Oh, dude,
we used to throw so many parties at University of Oregon, and I play that song every time. That and T-Pain Superman, completely underrated. Play T-Pain Superman after this podcast for the sheer fact that if I want you to think about me, 19 years old, throwing a party with like 200 people to this song. My buddy literally punched a hole in his ceiling doing the Superman. Little dun-dun-dun.
T-Pain rules. That's the moral
just,
of this
just
story.
A quality man. T-Pain is our Elvis, except for
that's
he didn't
true.
Steal it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
More talented.
I'll stay
on the pod for T-Pain.
Yeah. Okay.
JP, what can the good folks check out from you over at SBNation.com this week?
Got a 2-round mock draft dropping after free agency. Got a couple more big stories I'm working on. And also NCAA tournament, March Madness stuff. Evan just dipped.
Evan just said to hell.
He just did an Irish goodbye.
He was so serious when he said he'd stay around for T-Pain and T-Pain only. I respect that. But yeah, wow. Just follow along for all the coverage and it'll be fun.
There you go. Jared Bailey on both screens here as we wrap up here. Yeah. What can the good folks check out from you all across the internet this week?
Got some features coming here in the next couple weeks. I'll be doing one with Kalen Carson, cornerback from Wake Forest. So that'll be a lot of fun, as well as Jamari Thrash, wide receiver from Louisville. So those will be coming in the next couple weeks. My newest piece on USA Today actually talks about Justin Herbert and how the Chargers have just wasted him throughout the entirety of his career so far. So go read that on USA Today. And then all the Steelers coverage from a crazy week, maybe the craziest week that I can remember in my lifetime as a Steelers fan. All the coverage at Behind the Steel Curtain for SB Nation. Go check all that out as well. And Trivia Bowl will be kicking off probably next week. JP's been on a few Trivia Bowls. Very fun to do throughout the offseason. So bi-weekly those will occur. So we'll do, you know, normal pump fake show, and then every 2 weeks we'll do a Trivia Bowl show where I make all my media friends play a goofy, I call it it's not trivia, it's stupid and fun, but it's a lot of fun. So those will be kicking off again, and I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Jarrett, JP, always a pleasure, and I will talk to y'all next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.